Welcome to Big Blend Radio. That was Contemplating the Loop. It's a second track from the new concept EP, Comfort in Illusion. It's a great name. It's by the alternative prog rock quartet. They're called Head with Wings. And we're super happy to have Josh join us. Joshua Corum is the lead singer. He's also the songwriter. So I encourage you to go get the album. It is out today. This is the day, July 16th, 2021. It is out. So you can go to bandcamp.com, look up Head with Wings and get it there. It's the best place for musicians to sell their music. So welcome, Josh. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, this is cool. The music, the videos, I think you should, when are you going to do like a full-on movie? Like a full-on musical movie. I'm serious. Nancy and I, and she wishes she was here today because she loves what you're doing. It's just an internet thing in the backwoods. So, but anyhow, we're here. When is that going to happen? Because we just expect that from you.
No, I'm glad you get that way because even from the very beginning of the band, we've always wanted to be involved in film. Comic books, graphic novels, like we kind of envisioned the band as this like media amalgamation. But then what we realized, is that to do it the way that, we'd want to, and to do it justice, we need a heck of a budget for every project. Mm-hmm. So what we end up doing is we scale back a little bit and keep our aspirations like high. So basically, as you pointed out, each track from the EP has an animated video that was done by the Black Soil in Ukraine. Wow. Production company that we've been working with for a few years. They worked with us on our debut and throughout this whole EP. So what we'd like to do is do kind of like a super cut of this EP eventually, and then kind of record live action performance and kind of splice that in and redo it in a way where it's like more expansive and kind of shows the band actually performing. But that'll be a little ways down the line. But I am working on, I guess you can call it a screenplay of sorts, where I would ultimately like to write something and pitch it for film or like a limited series, Netflix, what have you, because every song in our catalog is almost like a chapter of you know, of a larger story, a larger narrative that we're fleshing out until we want to move on to something else. The first album, it's like 9 chapters of a story, 3 more chapters with this EP, and then we have another full length coming out that will be a sequel to the debut. So wow. everything's kind of building, and the reality is all of it could be compiled into a film, a few films, a series, and that's something that we're taking seriously moving forward.
I think it's really exciting about what we have today in music. You know, I'm a big fan of going out and seeing bands perform live, and thank God it's happening again. You know, I'm just like, mm-hmm. yay. However, I think there's this creative, and I know that the music and the words, you know, for the EP now, that was written, you know, pre-pandemic, but it does feel, you know, watching and listening, it does kind of feel like how we all probably feel now. It's like we can go back in the world, but do we really want to? Who's wearing a mask? Have you been quarantined or have you been vaccinated? Do we care about that? It's like a weird world right now, especially as travelers. We're like, whoa. But it's very interesting, the media that is available because of the internet and this creativity. I mean, you think about if this pandemic happened like 15 years ago, it would have really sucked without the internet.
You're so right. You're so
dial
right.
Dial up. Yeah. Could you remember the dial up?
Oh, yeah. The family computer.
Oh, yes. And DOS.
Not just your personal computer, just the family computer.
The family computer that worked on DOS. You know, if you think back to those days, which I'm a fan of the whole thing. I think there's something cool, like going back to old penny arcades. So like, I think there's some cool stuff, but what we have now allows creativity to just really have no limit, especially with what you're doing with video. I mean, it's this whole animation, the sky's the limit. There's no limit of what you can do now.
Yeah. I guess in terms of animation, it's kind of crossed over into the video game world. Because the videos that you saw, they were designed within a game engine called Unreal Engine 4. It's a game engine that was developed by a studio called Epic Games, and they've released huge iconic titles over the last, like, I guess 20-25 years, like first person shooter games predominantly. And our director, you know, studied the engine and essentially brought everything to life like it was a level in a video game that you can kind of walk around in. So if you were in his shoes developing the thing, you know, you could actually walk around the scenes and it's like you're there.
That's what we're saying. It was like you're in a drone. It felt like you were like you're floating in and out, like you're on a little magic carpet ride inside the video, like watching, but you've got your protagonist. I don't like that word. I know everyone uses it, but you've got your main
character. A little shallow, right?
Yeah, it just feels, I don't know. It just feels like you've been to the doctor. I'm just gonna say,
right?
You know, you've got a main character in this, so you're really developing a storyline.
Yeah, it's in the videos. It's kind of Igor, the director's his visual interpretation of my story, but also the lyrics, right? So you have adaptations based off the lyrics, and then an adaptation based off a narrative idea. Because if you listen to the music just for the music and take it word by word, it's not forcing a story onto you. It's just kind of like how the ideas and the themes all connect globally. It's more of like a framework or like a playground for me to operate in. And that's a lot of fun as a writer. Because even if the audience isn't along for all of that, it's like a constant muse for me and a constant inspiration to keep pushing and reaching for.
I think it's first thing, you know, I said to Nancy was like, I listened and then I watched, you know, so I did both. But to me on both, you know, it's, you're listening to the music, then the video, you're into this whole other world, you know, and it's like, I just want them all connected. I want to watch them one from the other, you know, it's like, that's why I said it goes into a movie, right? But the music feels that way too. Like, I just want to, it's like you zone out. I'm like, this is zone out music. And I mean that in a positive way where it's just
that's
like,
great.
Put the headset on, sit back, don't just whatever, like do whatever you want to do, you know, have your wine or light candle, whatever, just sit and listen. And really it's music that, unless you're watching the videos, close your eyes and just trip out for a while.
Yeah. And I'm glad you see it that way. It's supposed to be an escape. It's funny because on one way you could look at it as an artist, you could be offended if someone says, oh, this is background music. But the reality is it's just supposed to fill whatever that listener is kind of looking for at the time, you know, whether or not they want to, if you want to engage in it, you know, in a deep way, you can. If you want to just kind of let it meander and be in the background, you can do that too. The goal is to kind of, for us to release something that can be engaged in multiple ways and has multiple layers. And that's kind of like the fun of it.
And it's not a typical song. Your songs are not typical, like A, B, and then here, we must have the bridge and it must do this and needs to go back here. It's not doing that, which I think is really exciting. And that's this whole now. I feel that's what's interesting also about prog rock. I've just never got into, okay, this label and that label is this kind of music or that kind of music, but and it's all Billy's fault. We've been interviewing a lot of prog rock bands, you know, over the years. Go Billy James, everyone, Glass Onion, he's good. You know, I just never looked at it as that genre, but I've been listening to all this music all my life. I just never went, oh, there's a label. But over the time, it's kind of interesting because it seems like prog rock is, you know, you've got progressive politics, right? But we've got this progressive music where I've touched on this before in interviews where I feel like it's always like pushing on a story and developing a story that it just kind of has this thing where prog rock, a song or an album, an EP will take you deeper and deeper. It's like this other journey, kind of like jazz. But then at the same time, it's almost a very personal kind of thing that happens with prog rock. It looks at issues in life, whether it's spiritual or about the environment or just a human experience or coming of age, which you could even take this EP as coming of age in a way, you know. Everyone can take their thing, but I feel like it's always there's something about prog rock where they're taking, the musicians are taking real life matters and using it in a journey.
Absolutely. Yeah. You could probably point to that for countless records, you know, I guess it's concept rock in a way, you know.
Yeah.
But some people have argued that we're not a progressive band. I think we are to a certain degree, but it's more, I've always seen it more as alternative rock, concept rock, art rock, if you will, just because we take all the elements seriously. It's just one big melting pot. If you dissect these songs, it's progressive by probably most standards in terms of the, you know, you have your twists and turns, your tempo changes, your, the time changes, you know, just abrupt twists and turns, but everything ultimately sensible in the end, you know, still relatively cohesive. It's, in our case, we're largely inspired by events that kind of occur in society and how those events, for better or worse, kind of shape people and shape their decision making. That trend for us kind of started on our debut album in 2018, and that kind of transcended to this piece as well, and is transcending to the next piece that's coming up, you know, next year too.
Awesome.
So society and how it, for Head with Wings, it's like how a society affects people, and then, you know, how they, you know, either change their lives or don't, or are impacted in a positive or negative way, and how then they impact other people.
So look at the album art, which is behind you. For those who are watching, I know a lot are listening, you'll see the album cover. Tell us about that, because it looks apocalyptic at the same time as it, you know, you could say that's a part of history too. So it's kind of a merging of two eras in a way, with what I look at it.
Yeah, to connect it to the story of the EP, it's, you know, we can kind of, we're looking at the protagonist, your favorite word. The protagonist's apartment, if you will. And a lot of the music is dwelling on, you know, is this person going to finally get up and get out and make changes, break down the walls that they've been putting up for themselves? So you have this literal window or wall being blown out, kind of, you know, showing that this person has made moves. And then with the rubble is essentially the clock tower that, you know, we're singing about in A House Without Clocks, and the general themes of trying just the grind, you know, breaking the wheel, you know, the hamster wheel, just kind of trying to live life without, I guess, a pretense or like a predetermination, just like being about, you know, your life and your path and making your way in this world. So, you know, it's a little bit of metaphor, a little bit of tying into the literal aspects of the lyrics. And, but the rubble is essentially, it's a lot more than just a clock tower that looks like it's blown up. But the reason that apartment is left standing is kind of, this was from our illustrator's perspective, Darcy. She left that building standing because she thinks that the protagonist has to still live with the decisions that they made. So it's like this lone building is still there amidst the rubble. So, I mean, again, it points in a few different directions, but it's supposed to be kind of like engaging, where you can kind of interpret it in a few different ways.
Co-create. I think that's the beauty of art. Art is co-creative, you know, and I think music especially, right? If you read books, then you're going to still create with the scene. When you're watching videos, you're in there, but you're still having your own experience. I think that's what's really great about what you've done, is you've left that room for us as the audience to breathe and have that creative experience. And Lord knows we need to be creative as individuals running around. There's that, I think we get so caught up in life and the craziness of life. And right now it's weird out with COVID. Everybody's like, you know, oh, we're going back to work. No, we're not. Yes. You know, it's all weird, but we get stuck in routines and cycles and craziness, but that creative outlet needs to be there. And when music and the arts allow us as an audience to do it, it's in our subconscious, I believe. You know, I don't know. I create. So I'm just saying, I think that's what it's there for. It's like, you know, a listener doesn't have to go create an album or pick up a guitar if they don't want to. Maybe it will inspire them to, but they are just co-creating by listening.
Yeah. Just that's not to say everyone needs to be creative, but they need, everyone needs creative people to then kind of feed off of their creativity and their energy and whatnot. And, you know, we want to put this work out for people to engage with it and have an outlet, like a release, because that's what it is for us.
But it's amazing. You're a quartet, and how much sound is in there, because it's a big flow of sound. Tell us about the band, who's playing what, because you've got guitars. I mean, it's really not like a lot of instruments in there.
Yeah. Head with Wings at its core was always just meant to be a rock format. So guitar, bass, drums and vocals. So we always kind of wanted to push that format as far as we can, and, you know, and we're still going. But so on the debut and on this EP, we were a five piece. Okay. So on this EP, you have Andrew Test on drums, Steve Hill on bass, myself on vocals, Mike Short on guitars, and Brandon Cousineau on guitars as well. So the difference between this and the next release is we have moved on to be as a quartet, essentially. Okay. So Andrew's not in the band anymore. And Mike, who's on lead guitar on this EP, is a drummer by trade too, believe it or not. And he's playing drums on the next record.
Oh, wow.
So you have, we've scaled it back a little bit. And that's not to say we're still not doing, you know, layering the record as we see fit and doing overdubs and whatnot. But the songwriting approach did shift a little bit to almost like a less is more, or like let each, you know, member kind of shine in their department. Because these compositions were really tricky to mix. And
I know, I can imagine. Yeah.
Just with all you have the lead guitar kind of dueling with the vocal. You know, you have this insane rhythm guitar foundation going on, interlocking with, you know, the drums and the bass. And it's, you know, this large ethereal moving sound. It was a lot to kind of manage.
Yeah. I mean, how do you do that live? Do you guys perform out live a lot? Because that's what I was saying, that big flow, the ethereal is a good word for it, because that's part of that embryonic thing that we all need as with listeners. That's that cohesive, you know, take us back to the motherland. You know what I mean? That sound.
Right.
So, I mean, how do you do that live? Do you get keyboardist in there or what? Yeah.
No, we, So that's part of the reason why some people don't see us as prog is because we don't have a keyboardist.
Right. And that's always where's all your stacks, you know?
Yeah. Right. Where's the organ?
Yeah.
Or the Mellotron. But, you know, basically, so to take you back a little bit, our last gig before the pandemic was at the end of 2019. We were doing like a 2-week tour in Germany.
Cool.
And we played a festival called Euroblast Festival in Cologne. And basically after that tour, we went right into the production of this EP. That took us into the pandemic, essentially. So we worked on this throughout the months, started working on the next thing. So our first gig back is actually August 5th in Hamden, Connecticut at the Space Ballroom.
Oh, cool.
But in terms of making it come to life, I guess it has a lot to do with getting your tones situated, right? Getting the delay rates and whatnot for the music, you know, that you hear on the record, right, locked in at the right tempos. And that if the band executes that, it really can transport the listener. And, you know, it would almost be like the equivalent of watching a movie and not having like the fourth wall broken or whatever. Like you want it to be cohesive and have continuity. And we can do that by making sure, you know, our sounds are in order.
Sound check is a big deal for you guys.
It is.
Yeah. Cause I mean, there's sound checks and it's like, okay, we're all tuned in. Okay. We've got the basics, you know, but for what you guys are doing is that atmospheric sound to make sure that all, like you're saying, all the delays and all of that to be there. That's epic. I think though, for the listener to go and hear something like this in a live situation, it's pretty epic. Yeah, I always think about ABBA. How did ABBA play live, you know, from what they did in a recording studio to live, right? That's got to be one of the hardest things. So
yeah, and we're not relying on backing tracks either. So everything you hear is just actually performed in the moment. A lot of progressive bands, they will have, you know, like the orchestral moments from the record. They'll be playing to a click track live, right, with their in-ear monitors. And essentially playing on the grid like it's a studio production. And then all the backing, all the overdubs that they can't recreate live come through as backing tracks. So we don't, at this point in time, we don't do that. So we're actually up there playing it real and in the moment, you know, kind of a for better or worse tempo wise kind of thing. It's just a little bit more realistic, I suppose.
It's got to be interesting also picking out the right gig venue, because like the venue's got to be important acoustic wise. You know, because that can make or break you. Like, it's just, there's like really cool places and you get in the wrong room and it's like, you know.
Well, we don't want to take it for granted because there were no gigs for,
now it's like, how many months out there? Yeah.
So it's like this first one back, you know, we've been selective with the venue. So you're right. But, you know, the reality is we kind of came up as, you know, as guys in a garage band, you know, throughout our youth. So like we're accustomed to, you know, crappy conditions, if you will.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily how you want to portray yourself, but if we had to, you know, we would.
Yeah. I've done gigs where just blew my vocal cords out just because it's the only way to get it out there. And I'm like, that was not the thing to do.
Because of bad monitoring.
Yeah. Just bad monitor. Yeah, exactly. Right. And it's always, it's an interesting thing, especially with your pitch of voice, when you're talking about with the guitars, that's a balance for you guys to have, you know? So, but it's like, it's cool that you've got it. It's like dueling snakes, you know, it's a very cool way to make it happen. Do you, when you perform live, do you guys have any of the video footage behind the sets that people can feel that part too?
Not at this point, because that would end up, putting us onto a click. So that way the video footage.
Oh, yeah, that sucks. Yeah, we don't want that.
I mean, we may try it eventually. Technically we do have video footage for every song, I think, that we've put out, but it would. Tonally, the jump between video to video would be a little inconsistent, I think. And also, you know, like I'm saying, that would put us on the grid and kind of, which isn't the worst thing, because there's plenty of amazing bands that are playing to click tracks. It's just right now our live feel is
what you want to do.
Yeah,
I think it's interesting that you're doing that too, because with the video part, that's something that is, you know, the concept is in there. It's like all the little details, and there's so much to create the videos. That's huge. There's so much.
Months, yeah.
I mean, it's the details. It really is so much detailed work and time and producing. And it's like producing an album, right? It takes so much time. And then on being live, it's kind of like, okay, we want to do the opposite. It's like, okay, let it go. You know what I mean? So I think that's cool that you have that balance of, you know, all the different energies. So it's not like we're not recreating it this way. We're out there out front. So you got a gig in August. So anything coming up, any festivals coming back for you guys?
Actually, not this year, but next we're playing in Quebec City in 2022 in May.
Oh, fun.
So that'll be May 20th to 22nd. And I believe we're playing on that Sunday. And that'll be Terra Incognita Festival in Quebec City. That's a 3-day prog rock, art rock festival. And they have a lot of Italian bands flying in for that.
Oh, cool.
So there's people coming from all around the world for this.
Yeah, Quebec, from what I've heard, is a big party town. That's going to be fun. Like, just historically, like, super cool with architecture, and just, you're going to have a good time. Have you been there?
Never, no.
Because you're not that far from the Canadian border, right? If you're in Connecticut, like.
No, we could. Nothing's stopping us from going. Besides COVID, but on any other day, I suppose it could be a day trip. Montreal is as far as I've been in Canada.
Awesome. So next year you've got the next album coming out. So that's going to be cool. So yeah, music coming back out live. So very cool. Love it. Now this honestly is one of my favorites, In a House Without Clocks, because I mean, that's just even trippy. The title just makes you even think right there. I mean, that's something. Can we have one? I want a house like that.
Right. That's the whole point, is like, can you live without it? You know, like, what are you willing to do to get past that hang up, you know, like being controlled by a schedule, and, you know, can you
flush your phone down the toilet, you know, just like get rid of it for a while. Yeah. I've done it. It didn't work, but, but before you go, how did your band all come together? How did you meet everyone, and how did the whole idea come together?
So it started, let's see, back in the early inception of the band was 2008. So it's been around for a while. That was kind of like garage days, you know, kicking ideas around in the garage. That was only a year or two after I even picked up guitar, I think. So it was a kind of a garage experiment that then I started dabbling with other projects and get my name out there as a singer, got involved with some guys that were ultimately ended up becoming the band Earthside, which is a really cool prog metal band here in Connecticut as well. Once we got those guys involved around like 2011, 2012, they really kind of helped us, you know, show some more consideration for the production aspects of the band and how to really kind of capture the mood that was elicited. Because sometimes if you don't have someone in the beginning kind of on your side, kind of like in the corner of the room, you know, kind of spectating, you can kind of just go any which way. So in our case, for better or worse, you know, we had these guys, kind of Frank and Jamie, in our corner, being like, you should try this, you should try that, you know, consider this. And that kind of put us on a certain kind of path, you know, that, well, I suppose that doesn't account for how I met, you know, Joe, the original bass player, Brandon, Paul Onito, all these guys that were around kind of in this local scene, that were in and out of bands with each other. And then this one kind of frothed up, you know, out of just jamming with, you know, a few guys that were just digging the same kind of, you know, rock music. But yeah, that's pretty much how it came to be.
It's amazing, because you guys definitely have your own sound, and it's really refreshing to hear that, you know, because you can be influenced by everybody, you know, you've got, oh, I want this, I love that, you know, but when a band has their own sound, it's awesome.
Thank you.
It really is. So kudos to that. And congratulations on the new album out, everybody. It's the EP, Comfort in Illusion. You can get it on Bandcamp.com. Isn't that the best place, right, for everyone to go? Is Bandcamp for that? Obviously, streaming on Apple, Spotify. Oh, of course, go to YouTube, type in Get Head With Wings. I love your band name. Who named the band? How did that happen?
Well, that was kind of like a party induced night.
Oh, okay. It's a happy happy days.
Yeah, it was I don't want to get too explicit here on your show, but oh,
go for it.
Well, it kind of started in baking out a car and listening to the band Morphine.
And
Morphine has a song called A Head With Wings. And you know, a buddy of mine turned to me and said, you know, Head With Wings sounds like a really good band name.
It does.
And that was back in 07 or 08.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just stuck. And originally I wanted it to be more of like a psychedelic band.
Yeah.
Like kind of like more of like an old school sound, old school progressive. But everyone that I worked with, that nobody was really into that. And we were all kind of more into like, you know, early 2000s alternative metal and new metal, and then grunge going into 90s grunge going into alternative rock. And then so you have all that at the forefront, but then with the inspiration from over the years, the inspiration from like the old prog band started to kind of seep in, and more new that you know more nuance started to seep into the music, where it wasn't just jamming out like a grunge tune.
I think it's psychedelic had a glass of really good red wine. That's what happened.
That's awesome.
It messed up the trip a little bit, but then it's created its own trip and it's cool. I think I think it's got some red wine in there. It's contemplative.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah, I mean that's it. Psychedelic means the red. Yeah, all right. That's going to be normal, yeah, right, for everyone.
I gotta write that one down.
Yeah, right. They're also on Instagram, so Head With Wings Music, and Twitter and Facebook. So keep up with them there. And very excited for your album to be out today. So we're going to play In a House Without Clocks. And don't forget, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. We air our shows Monday through Friday, new scheduling. And it's like, it keeps changing, but now we're at that point. All right. So thank you so much, Josh. It's been a real pleasure.
Pleasure to meet you, Lisa. And continued success with Big Blend Radio. Awesome.
Thank you. You too. You guys as well. When we get to Connecticut, we'll look you up and hopefully be able to see you guys perform somewhere. You never know with all of us traveling around again. So
let us know when you're here.
Absolutely. We'll have some wine. And maybe some psychedelics and see what happens. Make a new movie. All right. You take care.
Thank you. You too.